On this episode, we power through the lack of Tingle to continue our playthrough of The Legend of Zelda: Breath of the Wild. Welcome to What's in a Game from Fountain City Frequency, a podcast where the nerdiest couple you know take a deep dive into video games, both old and new. I'm Cody Newell.
And I'm still not Tingle.
Still not Tingle.
But I'm Dana Masters.
At least you're that.
That's true. At least I'm someone.
Well, still not Tingle. This week, we have a message from a listener.
Hooray!
I know.
We have a listener.
We have one. My God.
Someone likes us.
This question is from Matt Micus on Twitter. Thank you, Matt. He asks, what are some of our favorite indie games?
Thank you, Matt.
Yeah, thank you. Go ahead, Dana.
Well, one of my favorite ones is Journey.
Good game.
From that game company.
That's how you have to say there.
From that one game company. It's just a very pretty game.
It is.
But it almost feels like spiritual in a sense. So when I played that game, a friend of mine from college was like, oh, man, you have to try this. And she watched me play. And during this game, someone communicates. So people can play with you, like every level. Like a person can enter that game and play with you. But you can't communicate other than like a sort of chirping.
Right.
So there's no way to communicate with this other person. And I had a person who played the entire game with me, showing me all of the secret, like, places and all of that. And when we got to the very end of the game, and my friend was really impressed with this, by the way. She's like, oh, my God, this person's, like, stuck with you and showed you everything. And when I got to the end, there's, like, you're in, like, some sort of sand or snowy place.
Yeah.
And they drew a heart around my character before the game ended. And I was like,
so cute.
I think I almost, like, started crying because I was like, oh, my God, this is so nice. I've only ever played on, like, games and people that are so mean, but this person is so great.
Well, and that ending is already, like, I got pretty I didn't have a person that went all the way through with me, but that ending was, like, emotional in and of itself. So I can only imagine being enshrined in a heart at the end.
And the soundtrack was composed by Austin Wintory. And I love that soundtrack.
Well, I gotta give a shout out first off to Fez from Polytron. I love that game. It had a moment that was massive, like going on forums every single day and like trying to figure out all the like puzzles was really, really awesome. But a newer indie game that I really, really liked a lot was Anatomy by Kitty Horror Show, which was one of the first games you and I played together, actually. Yeah. And that game, and like all of Kitty Horror Show's games, have like a really unique visual style, which I can only describe as like PlayStation 1 demo disc. Like it's super low res. It's like almost like early days of 3D. And that like sounds weird because I feel like that just isn't used very much, but it really works to like sell the dread and horror of being in this house alone and just hearing these kind of ominous messages.
Goblin from an egg.
Why do human beings of our modern age foster this tremendous sympathy?
A lot of Kitty Horror Show's games kind of nail that same sense of like of mysterious horror and dread and just like unease. So really, really enjoyed that.
I want to play more of those games.
Yeah.
That game filled me with dread.
Yeah.
Like, I was, like, horrified at the end.
It plays on your, like, suggestibility. Like, there's not anything that's, like, jumping out at you, but it's, like, the thought of, like, is there something there? I don't know. Like, I can't quite tell because, like, it's so dark in here and I can barely see and, like, things are slightly changing and it was really, really great at just building that psychological horror.
I would definitely replay that game. We should replay that game whenever we want to be scared. Halloween.
Yeah, I was about to say, maybe that's a Halloween. Maybe that's what we should do for a Halloween
kitty
special.
Horror show. Halloween special. Okay.
So this week, like we said, we are having our Zelda Part 2 spoiler talk. So we're going to go ahead and upfront just say you should probably consider this your spoiler warning. We have played like 100 hours of the game. We beat the main story. We've gotten like 2/3 of the shrines and seen a lot. So if you're worried about being spoiled about anything, the discovery of the game, the gameplay, the story, stop listening now.
Yeah, you should play this game.
Yeah, you should play it. You should play it and then listen to the podcast if you haven't. Or if you don't care about being spoiled and you just want to hear about the game, continue on. Let's start by just talking about, I guess, some of the gameplay, because 100 hours with this game, I feel like, is a lot different story than, like, 40 hours in this game.
I must say, I was still frustrated with the controller layout.
Yeah, that's one thing, like, that's persisted from hour 1 to hour 100.
I'm still accidentally whistling or, like, oh, God, I have to switch my arrows on this bow, and Oh, shoot, I used the Sheikah Slate thing instead, and
Yeah, and I wonder, like, part of that, for a while, I thought might have been alleviated if we had bought the Pro Controller.
Maybe.
Which is, like, $70, and, like, dude, no way, I'm not about to drop that on a regular-ass controller.
I feel like the controllers could have been a little more streamlined, but... Yeah. Also, like, maybe I'm not used to playing a handheld device, and maybe that was my problem.
I don't know, though. I think the Joy-Cons, like, they a little massaging and design may have been a good thing. And it's a shame that you can't customize the controls entirely. Yeah. Like, I wish they would just give you the option to remap it however you want, because I feel like that would have helped us a little bit. But, yeah, definitely agree that is persisted as a problem. One thing that I'll say has changed a lot is the difficulty curve. Because, like, for the first 40 hours, we were getting our asses kicked left and right. But now that we've, you know, we did all the divine beasts, we got all the powers. So we got, like, the resurrection power from Mipha. Whenever you drop to 0 hearts, it kicks you back up to full.
Please accept Mipha's grace.
I feel like that alone changed a lot of things for us. But then getting, like, the protection magic, getting the area of effect lightning bolts from your whirlwind strike.
We use that one a lot.
Yeah. And getting the you can cause a gust of wind to blow you up that you got from the Rudo champion.
Yeah, I could have used that.
That
a
I
lot
feel like
earlier in the game.
Yeah, that would have been wonderful to have from the very beginning. But it felt like a really significant upgrade.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like as we've played, it's made the game, like, appreciably less difficult, which has been interesting. And I feel like has made me feel like we've grown a lot as we've played the game. And as we've kind of explored more, it's felt good to feel like all that exploration and all that kind of time in the game paid off in a big way.
Well, I know the shrines started to annoy you a bit, and the load time.
Well, so the load times are a problem. They're not, like, a huge problem. Like, they're actually pretty good for an open world game, and especially for a game that's running on a hybrid console handheld. But after 100 hours in this game, like, all those loading screens to go in and out of those shrines has added up.
Yeah.
And not to mention, like, getting into the shrines, and every single time they're from the same tile set and they all look very similar, which, like, in game has, like, an explanation because it's, like, made by the ancient civilization 10,000 years ago. But from like a gameplay perspective has just been like, okay, well, like, I know what this is going to look like before I even get in there.
Well, from a game development point of view, that might have just been easier.
Right. And I can't fault the game. I can't fault the game for it. It's just one of those things that, like, after a while, it's just, it's lost that novelty. And so that's, like, become more of a thing where I've just been like, okay, like,
Well, I also wonder if, like, they were to do that many shrines again in the future, if there were, like, different layouts for different levels of difficulty.
Right.
Like, I know you're kind of surprised when you walk in, it's like, major test of strength or minor test, or it's an easy puzzle or it's a harder puzzle. But maybe, like, they're indicated by how they look next time, just to mix it up a bit.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, because there were a couple of, like, stretches where we would hit, like, 10 really easy shrines in a row, and it would just be like, okay, well, we just like knocked those out, but then we would hit one that'd be like really hard and be like, oh shit, like, ooh,
which is nice, but
right. And I can't, again, I can't fault the game, because that's like, we could go anywhere, right? Like, it's hard, you can't necessarily, like, from a game design perspective, they can't necessarily like give you a good progression, because it's an open world, you know, you can go just about anywhere from the start, so I can't fault the game too much for it. It's just one of those things that after a while, though, kind of crept in on me. But I will say I'm really impressed with how many secrets we're still finding.
Yeah.
Because it just seems like there's just so much. Like, even after 100 hours, there's so much.
And there are still a lot of things that we haven't found. That I've kind of spoiled myself on a little bit now that we've started playing.
I'm shocked.
But I know there are still a lot of things we haven't found yet or haven't done, or, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
So I'm like, we're going to keep playing this game.
Yeah.
I might even start over and try to do things a different way.
Right. Or, you know, there's DLC that adds like a master difficulty. Like, we haven't gotten any of the DLC yet, but that could be something that we could do.
Woo!
And we haven't even fully upgraded a lot of our stuff too, and I know we haven't gotten like all the weapons or all the outfits or
but those great fairies are really creepy. Like, I don't know,
every character in this game wants a piece of Link, that is for sure, and those great fairies definitely. You didn't like the great fairies?
That was just a little too much for me, I think. I will say the divine beasts were fun.
Yeah.
But I kind of miss the temples. Like, I know the shrines and the divine beasts were supposed to take the place of that, but I still wanted the temples.
Yeah.
I wanted, like, a big castle-like structure, kind of like the final level fighting Calamity Ganon. That was like, oh my God, look at this room. Oh my God, look at all this. Oh, this is such a big building. Are you telling me that's the only castle in all of Hyrule?
Well, it felt a little bit empty to me, too. It was like a little bit odd. Like, it was almost like it was lacking a little bit of chat. Like a normal dungeon would have a lot of puzzles.
You skipped a lot of things, though.
Did I?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. There were three different rooms that I believe would have held the Blights if you decided not to beat the Divine Beasts. But they had Lionel's in them.
Oh, okay. Well,
like, there were apparently, like, you could have gone to Zelda's room.
We did go to Zelda's room.
No, we went to Zelda's study.
Oh, she has a room.
But Zelda has a room, too. Mm. Like, there were a bunch of areas of the castle that we didn't even look at.
It was a cool area, though. I think you're right. It stood out among everything else in the game, because a lot of the game was, like, set in the wild. Funny enough, wild is in the title. Crazy that you would spend a lot of time in nature.
Which was cool.
Yeah, for sure.
But I kind of wanted those, like, gigantic dungeon-esque levels. Like, I wanted to see what they could have done.
Yeah.
Hyrule Castle is the dungeon that I want.
Yeah.
I want, like, rooms that I don't have to be in with, like, traces of people who had been in there before.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of what I wanted out of the Zelda game.
Well, I was thinking about this earlier today, like, Breath of the Wild is such a weird, like, inversion of the usual Zelda formula, in that, like, I feel like we spent, like, 80% of our time exploring and wandering and traveling through this land, and like 20% in like the dungeons, like the divine beasts, the shrines, all of that stuff. Whereas like in a normal Zelda game, I air quotes normal Zelda game, it's like you spend most of your time tracking down those dungeons, tracking the main quest, and the side stuff is very much sideline stuff.
Couldn't it be like 60-40?
I liked the focus on the side quests and on the exploration, to be honest.
I liked those too, but I kind of wanted to see that in a dungeon setting as well.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm greedy. Like I don't want tiny villages. I want you to have like bigger houses that I can look through, more things to read, more people to spy on. I don't know, more castles I can like go find swag.
Yeah.
Go find castle swag, go find diaries.
Yeah. This one is pretty light on the lore and on dialogue. It's a lot more about like getting out there and exploring. Like everything is geared towards that. Like
I mean, if this is the future of Zelda games, they're only going to get more like that, right?
Yeah, I mean, probably.
So I'm stoked.
Upon Ganon's inevitable return to Hyrule, the princess and the hero fought alongside these four champions against this ancient evil. The guardians were tasked with protecting the hero as the divine beasts unleashed a furious attack upon their terrible foe.
One thing I really loved was that the Master Sword, which we got pretty early on, I really liked that it was behind. Basically, you couldn't get it unless you got 13 hearts.
Yeah.
And I liked that because it forces a really long period of getting to know the world before you get that sword.
Well, at first you were really annoyed about it.
Like, oh, yeah, at first I was like, what the hell?
13 hearts. Like, I just want to go get it. Like, that's stupid.
Right. But I came around on it when I, like, got over the shock of, like, holy shit, like, 13 hearts. And then just, like, was like, okay, we have to do that. And really got into seeing all the different areas. And because there's so many different biomes and so many different, like, areas in this game. Like, there's snowy, frozen mountains, there's hot-ass desert, there's, you know, a volcano. Oh, what?
Jungle-esque forests.
Yeah.
Areas.
There's swamps, things. All sorts of... It's just so varied that it's crazy. Hey, everybody.
Hello.
We're taking a quick break from the podcast, from our Zelda spoiler talk.
Spoiler.
To ask you a couple of favors. First off, thank you for subscribing if you have. If you haven't and you're just streaming this, please subscribe. But also, if you can, rate us on iTunes or Stitcher or wherever you're listening to this. If it has a rate function, please rate us. That would be wonderful.
Do it.
And tell your friends, because word of mouth is huge. We don't pay to advertise the show at all. And we're really kind of in the crucial beginning period of a podcast where you need all the support you can get.
I tell all of my friends. Cody tells his friend.
I have. My friend. My one friend.
Yeah.
Yeah, the one friend I have. Thank you so much to everybody who has hit us up on Twitter. If you have questions or game suggestions, you can hit us up at What's in a Game Pod. I think that's about it. Let's get back to the spoiler talk, shall we?
All right.
All right, let's get into some of these story spoilers then. If you haven't bailed out yet, this is the true spoiler zone. Really going to talk about this game story and some of the deeper stuff. So, if you want to bail, now is the super spoiler zone.
Hit that eject button. So the story is you play as Link,
whose no way.
Mission is to save Princess Zelda from some sort of Ganondorf, Calamity Ganon monster thing. There you go. That's all you need to know.
That's all you need to know. That's it. That's the story. That's our spoiler talk done. No, it is a very minimal version of the story, for sure. Like, I feel like there's not a whole lot of, I don't know, like, there wasn't a whole lot of detail. It kind of tells you what you need to know and the biggest thing was like uncovering the memories of of being with Zelda 100 years before.
Which were very interesting, because at one point, Zelda does not like you.
It seems I'm the only one with a mind of my own. Return to the castle and tell that to my father, please. And stop following me!
That is probably one of my favorite versions of Zelda that I've seen. Even though they only were like little glimpses of like the larger story.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like we were missing a lot of it. Not Cody and Dana missing a lot of it. I feel like we, as players, were just expected to fill in a lot of gaps. But
yeah.
These were very interesting characters. Like, it wasn't just Gorons are tough and Zoros are flirty and Gerudos are sexy but don't trust men. Like,
there is still a lot of that.
Yes,
those are like defining characteristics.
There is, but they were all, they had a sense of duty.
Yeah.
They were very distinct characters that you interacted with who had previous relationships with you and Zelda.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I really liked the relationship between Mipha, the Zora princess, and Link.
This reminds me of the time we first met. You were just a reckless child. Always getting yourself hurt at every turn. Every time, I would heal you, just as I'm doing right now.
Like, I liked that they established that as a romance instead of, like, Link to Zelda. Though I don't think that's ever happened in one of the Zelda games, but I know that you were shipping real hard for that.
I feel like it was a little stronger in this game than past games.
Sure.
Urbosa was very much like a mother figure at some points to Zelda.
She once passed out in the freezing waters trying to access this sealing power. And she has nothing to show for it. That's the motivation driving her research. I'd be doing the same thing. She really is quite special.
Revali was very antagonistic.
Yeah.
Because he was kind of like your rival.
Let's not forget the fact that I am the most skilled archer of all the Rito. Yet despite these truths, it seems that I've been tapped to merely assist you. All because you happen to have that little darkness-sealing sword on your back. I mean, it's just asinine.
I saw a joke on Twitter that he was basically Falco from Star Fox, which is pretty pretty apt. He's sarcastic, he is cutting, he is very dismissive.
Well, I feel like it's always a little more fun when there's someone who doesn't like Link. Like, they had that in Skyward Sword, and it created a really funny dynamic.
Yeah.
So it's nice to have characters who aren't Zelda and Link who are pretty fleshed out. And I feel like these characters were, like, pretty established and fleshed out, but I wanted to see more.
Yeah, I feel like some of them were a little uneven, though. Like, Revali and the Rudo area in general just seemed a lot shorter than like we were in the Zora domain forever, because there was a lot of dialogue and there was a lot of side quests and a lot of other things. But like the Rudo area and the Goron town at Death Mountain, I don't know, they felt a little bit short and a little bit like maybe some things had been cut or something
smaller.
Like that.
Smaller.
Yeah. So I don't know. Like, in that respect, I was like, huh? Like, this is a little weird. But yeah, I think for the most part, though, they really do characterize these characters really well and get a lot across with not a whole lot of screen time.
They were well developed enough that I wanted to, like, I almost wish this hadn't been set 100 years after what had happened. Like, I wanted, like, maybe it was only a year after they'd been killed, and, like, the grief is still really fresh.
Yeah.
And the terror is still really fresh. Because, like, some of it, like, these people aren't as scared anymore because they've been living under this for 100 years because Zelda's been holding him back.
Right.
That, I think, would have been a little more fun. And I think I wanted more cutscenes.
But I'm glad that they didn't overdo it. Because, like, one of the things that I hate about open world games, and particularly Bethesda open world games, because this seems to be just a thing they don't want to get away from, is like making the main story really urgent, but yet you're playing an open world game where you can go off and like pick flowers for like 25, 35, 45, 50. Like, you can go off and do a million different things for hours and hours and hours and hours, but yet you're still Dovahkiin and you need to go do this now or Dovahkiin. Else the world is going to explode.
Yeah, that's weird.
And, like, I was glad to see this game did not do that.
Yeah.
It kept everything, like, separated enough and kept enough gaps between things and kept everything minimalist enough to where it made sense if you, you know, spent some time doing other things before you went and did the Divine Beasts. I was glad to see that.
And they kept a lot of cutscenes to certain areas, you know? Yeah. Like, they were in those four areas, which is, like, out of, like, I don't know, like, nine?
Yeah.
Nine or ten. So, like, not too much. But I really enjoyed those characters.
Yeah.
I wish I could have seen more. And I wish, I don't know, I wish there had been more opportunities to interact with characters.
Yeah.
Again, more diaries, more going into people's houses and being nosy.
Whether skyward bound, adrift in time, or steeped in the glowing embers of twilight, the sacred blade is forever bound to the soul of the hero.
I was glad, though, that, like, because the game was set 100 years after, basically, Ganon has won, the game, I felt like, had a darker tone than I remember a lot of Zelda games having, and in some ways, at least. And I really enjoyed that. But it also has a very light tone in some of, like, the side quests and some of the side activities. I was glad to see a little of both, and some middle ground too. It wasn't just like super hardcore serious or really really, you know, lighthearted and blah blah. It had some drama, it had comedy, it had a little of everything.
Yeah, but I think we kind of got off easy because, like, these characters hadn't just died.
Yeah.
But that was a lot of characters to kill.
Yeah. It's
five dead people right there, like, bam.
But I was glad that it actually followed through with, like, their spirits being lifted after you finish the main quest.
Mm-hmm. I was surprised by Calamity Ganon.
How so?
I don't know. I was expecting him to talk.
Yeah.
And he didn't. He was just a monster. And he's usually, like, a more intelligent evil being.
Right.
Like, I think even in Skyward Sword, he talked at the end. So, and, like, cursed them.
Yeah, there was no interaction. He is just a fountain of evil. That's, like, what he is in this game.
I'd be interested to see him as more of, like, a character and having more of a purpose than just wanting to control everything.
Sure.
Like, I want to see that.
Yeah.
I want a little bit more out of my villain.
Well, yeah, it kind of, like, by him being so detached from any sort of, like, humanity or any characterization at all, it did seem a little just like, okay, like, we're just killing this, like, evil beast and, okay, yeah, we did it and great. Like, I don't know. There was less investment for me anyway.
Well, it could have been, maybe that could have been made up with the Yiga clan.
Right.
But they ended up just being big doofuses who like bananas. Right. Like, come on. That could have been really fun.
That was a really cool area, though. I really liked that.
It was, but they were ridiculous.
Oh, like, yeah. They're total hams. They're outrageous.
Like Calamity Ganon, but you're like, bananas, and we're going to throw you into this pit.
I liked the boss, though. He was funny.
They just seemed so threatening until I actually met them. And then I was like, ah.
Yeah, the mystery, because we had encountered them very early on, and, like, the mystery of, like, oh, this clan that's, you know, that counts us as their enemy.
Ooh.
You know, like, wow. And then later it's like, oh, they're just a bunch of idiots. Like,
you could have been a little bit more dark with that, you know? I don't need Link, like, physically bleeding or, like, you know, gore or anything like that, but we can push it a little bit more, I think.
I love that they had a huge pile of bananas in their hideout.
I think we stole most of it, didn't we?
Oh, we stole every single banana in that place.
That's what they get for being ridiculous.
One thing I really enjoyed was the, you know, we talked a little about there not being a whole lot of lore or anything, but I did like what was there of, like, 10,000 years ago, this ancient civilization, the like forebears of the Sheikah, made these guardians and all this stuff, and we unearthed it, and we unearthed the divine beasts and you know, made them work again. I really enjoyed that, and the kind of focus on like the focus on making this world feel like it had been around for thousands of years.
Yeah,
that was really cool.
Well, and I don't know if this game falls on a timeline or anything like that, but there were like winks to like, oh, like he's been a hero of time, wink.
Yeah.
A hero of twilight, wink.
Right.
A hero of like the sky, wink, or something. And I was like, okay. Okay, we clearly know all the legends. Like, this is, and I mean, that makes sense because this was the one time that she was like, hey, this dude's going to come back. We should prepare.
Yeah.
So I guess this seemed like a little bit more of a self-aware game, I guess.
Yeah.
Which is pretty fun.
To circle back on one thing I forgot to say earlier, I really, really loved the memories. Mm-hmm. And I loved particularly the memory where Zelda was being kind of like chastised by the king.
Oof.
For, because she's been struggling, trying to kind of unlock the powers within herself and just can't. It's just not working.
Yeah.
And he's like, he's harsh. Like he doesn't mince words with her. He basically says, like, you haven't been doing what you need to be doing.
Let me ask you once more. When will you stop treating this as some sort of childish game?
I'm doing everything I can. I'll have you know that I just recently returned from the Spring of Courage, where I offered every ounce of my prayers to the goddess.
And now you are here wasting your time. You need to be dedicating every moment you have to your training. You must be single-minded in unlocking the power that will seal Calamity Ganon away.
I already am. Don't you see? There's nothing more I can do. My hope is that you, that you'll allow me to contribute here in whatever way I can.
No more excuses, Zelda. Stop running away from your duty. As the king, I forbid you to have anything to do with these machines from this moment on, and command you to focus on your training.
Which is so interesting. Yeah. Instead of like people not knowing that she's a goddess, instead it's like, people think you're a failure right now.
Right.
They know that you are the chosen one,
right,
and you're not doing what you're supposed to.
Right.
Like, dude.
Yeah.
She used to be a goddess. Like, whoa.
Right.
I don't know. Like, that was a really interesting take. Instead of Zelda being beloved, it was Zelda's really not doing what she's supposed to.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That was very interesting.
Yeah. I actually did like, I liked the ending cutscenes, and I'm glad that we got all the memories because we got the extra cutscene at the end.
Yeah.
I actually did really like the end. The boss battle, it could have been, it felt a little bit, it was a lot of spectacle and not so much like difficulty. Like, it wasn't a difficult fight.
Right.
We were probably like overprepared going into it. But I did like the end of Zelda and Link kind of going back into the world to like rebuild it.
Yeah.
And acknowledging like Ganon's gonna come back at a certain point. Like, he's got to.
I believe in my heart that if all of us work together, we can restore Hyrule to its former glory. Perhaps even beyond, but it all must start with us. Let's be off.
It's like you said, I felt like the game was a little bit more self-aware about it, a little less beholden to kind of like timelines and all the blah, 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 you know?
Well, it is kind of nice just to see like where their story is going.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, to make Hyrule bigger and better. And I was like, aw, great. He's not just like a wandering vagabond after this.
Right.
Good.
Well, I hope that they add on to the game's story more, and I'm hoping that the DLC, which we haven't seen any of it yet, but I'm hoping that they like actually support this with a lot of DLC and really, because they could add a lot more. Even that sounds crazy because like there's still a ton in this game, but I want them to expand on this even further, and I think they could pretty easily.
In terms of like the game overall, I still love the way it looks.
Yeah.
I love the music. I loved that final level in the castle.
It was cool.
Like, so many things to look at. The music was really cool. It was a nod to a lot of different
eras of Zelda.
Yes, like a lot of different Ganondorf battles.
They lean hard into like the old tunes and the old songs in the last in a lot of the like memories and in the last level in the last cutscenes.
Well, the one that I remember specifically, like, it was a mashup of a bunch of those songs, but I kept hearing the organ song from Ocarina of Time in there.
Yeah.
That was cool. And then if you like crouched, it got quiet. And if you were like out in the middle of the action, it was really loud and crashing, like, that made that final level so cool.
Yeah.
It was really fun. So that really impressed me when I didn't think I had anything left to like really expect. I feel like that last level just kind of like notched it up. I was like, man, I wish I could have seen more of this.
Yeah.
Like, we kind of like whizzed through it so that we could finish it because we would have never finished it. But I'm definitely going back and exploring more of that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's a ton left to do, and I know we're going to play this game a lot more, and as the DLCs come out, I know we're going to play those too.
And I'm super stoked to, like, see what else they do. I guess they're thinking about a multiplayer game.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not sure how they would do that, but I'm interested in seeing it, and then I'm interested to see their next, like, main title.
Yeah.
So.
I just hope they don't get into a new title too soon. I want to see this because I think there's still a lot of things that could be done with this world and this vision of Zelda and of the franchise, because I think this has been one of the strongest Zelda games maybe ever, and that's saying something among a like series that has had some incredible games in it. And I feel very strongly that this is like we said in the first episode, this is a reason to buy a Switch, you know, like, this is a system-selling game, for sure.
That's great.
Thank you for listening to What's in a Game. If you like this podcast, go ahead and rate us on your podcasting podcatcher of choice and tell a friend. Word of mouth is a huge thing for us, and ratings help us climb the brutal competitive ladder of podcasting. And we don't pay to advertise the show. So please tell people, rate us on iTunes and Stitcher. Follow the show on Twitter at What's in a Game Pod, and follow me at Cody Newell. You can send us recommendations and ask questions there. What's in a Game is distributed by Fountain City Frequency and recorded at Kansas City's NPR member station KCUR 89.3. Next episode, we're going to play
Resident Evil,
specifically the HD remaster. So we'll see you then.
Bye.
Bye.